All right, Wednesday evening, 10/25/23, 2 months till Christmas. Yeah. All right, we're naming and mapping the powers, part 10 tonight. It's going to be a little different. I'll just read my thoughts to you before we get into the scriptures here. Since Genesis 3, we have been or have a hidden enemy among us. We see it plainly today in all seven mountains of culture, the infiltration. What is the purpose of naming and mapping? It brings exposure. When we, by the finger of God, begin to come into their domain, they can't help themselves. They give their hidden position away. Now think about that. That's what I'm going to focus on tonight. Maybe a little different take on this than we've taken before. The Lord began to speak to me about this, and so I'm trying to gather and grasp the full extent of what he's saying. So Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to look first. We're just going to look at three scriptures there. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Doesn't that seem odd to you, that it would give itself away? It couldn't disguise itself, could it? "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her,' and he came out the same hour." So think about that. Do you ever go out places and you start feeling a certain way, or you just want to get home? Want to get home. Like what happened to me at HEB with the bread man? See, I've had that happen to me several times throughout the years. I remember we went on a motorcycle trip with somebody, and I'll tell you what, I didn't sleep part of the whole time I was there because it was a person, it was a woman. I thought, I can remember going, and there was a big table in there, and she was sitting at the table. I get in, go in there, and I sit at the table, and she gets up and walks off. It's creepy. Now, I realize now what I was dealing with. I was being confronted by a demonic entity. Well, she walked off because that thing didn't want to be exposed, right? You know, I got to thinking back, well, Lord, you know, there's times that I didn't understand what was going on, but now I realize what was going on. Y'all ever have that happen to you? You're part of an apostolic team. That apostolic anointing team will be on you also at times because this is what we're called to do, right? Really, I believe the whole body of Christ is called to do this, really. But apostles have a little bit higher anointing in that area to bring down strongholds, especially area. We're talking the big demons. But anyway, what did Jesus say? This is Mark 4:32. Like I said, this is a little different area than I've considered before. 4:22, Jesus said this, "But there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So what does that say to you? What's been hidden in secret? This demonic system, the beast system, right now, has infiltrated the whole earth. The goal of Revelation and all it talks about, really, you could say we're to the fulfillment. It's time for the grapes of wrath to flow. The wine press, if you will. The marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to watch the destruction of kings and leaders and evil. So everything that's been hidden in secret from, you could say, Genesis 3, the fall in the garden, is coming to manifestation. It can't be hidden. Jesus said it would all be manifested. And I believe that's what's happening when we get in the presence of these demonic entities, that they are acting out. They can't help themselves. They might try to mask themselves to sound like, well, they're a really nice person. Danny and I were talking about the other day, somebody he knew we went to church with. I don't remember who it was, but he said, every time I got around him, I had gave me the heebie-jeebies. You know, it was like, what's wrong? They're saying all the right things. But something just goes, and see, that's what Paul was experiencing. And he couldn't do anything about it until God told him what to do. It said for many days she followed them doing this to them. It's uncomfortable. It's grievous. Secret here means hid. This cabal, what do you want to call, ever call, whatever you want to call them, the Khazarian mafia, the deep state. These are Satan's minions that have been hidden behind the scenes, and we thought they were good and they meant good for humanity and good for us, but they've been planning our destruction from the very beginning. They were hidden in plain sight in everything. All right. Another one, Luke 8:17. Kind of like their secret, is it called the secret covenant? Their plan to do everything you could imagine, hidden, where we think it was a good thing that they did or they were going to do, you know, and it's evil. All right. This is Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So everything that's been hidden in secret from us is fixing to come abroad. I'm talking, it's going to be so in people's faces, they're not going to be able to get away from it. That's what's happening. We've come to full disclosure. The book of Revelation is that full disclosure. That's what it means, disclosure. This is the disclosure of Jesus Christ. Said, finally, y'all are going to get a clue of what's been going on. People that don't know anything, they're fixing to have their eyes full and their ears full. And it's going to be very, very hard for some people to take. Anyway, right here, this means concealed and private. Look at what these entities have done underground, right under our feet. We're close to the border. There's no telling how many tunnels are in our area right under our feet. I'm thinking, Lord, how could we not know? All right, Ephesians 5. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we're the children of the light. And when we come into their presence, we shine the light on them and they react to it. Now maybe you can understand why God has trained you the way He has. You've thought all this stuff is so horrible and I can't hardly stand it and all of this stuff, but He's training you. Like I was talking about, the Lord began to speak to me about turn your, what you call a disadvantage, it can be turned to your advantage because I'm using this. You wonder, well, why did the Lord choose this way? I said, Lord, I will not question your methods. But I would like to have some understanding as to why. When all these things were happening to me before I ever started doing what I'm doing, I didn't understand. But I've been called from my mother's womb, just like you. Might not have had full knowledge of what all, but the same things were happening. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, when you come to a demonic presence, you have a manifestation happening. You're thinking, No, don't think that way anymore. Don't think that way. Well, I said, quit thinking that way. Oh, I'm sick. I'm going to go home. Blah, 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 blah. Isn't that how we think? We get all in ourselves. That's just what that spirit wants. But no, God, ask God. Ask God. Okay, Lord, I was doing all just fine. And all of a sudden, bam, what's going on here? Where is it? Tell me what I say. What do I do? Let's uncover this thing. Isn't that what our call is? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Well, if we're back here, I didn't bring the word the Lord gave me yesterday morning, I believe it was. It's a personal word. But he basically said to me, the things that I've allowed you to go through and the things to learn, it's going to put you in a position to not put up with anybody's garbage, especially church leaders. You will stand strong in your anointing and you will not be intimidated or swayed by what they do, but that you'll have compassion for the people. But you will say, like Paul, no nonsense when it comes to, how dare you do that? Like Paul to Peter. Like, I'm starting to see, Lord, maybe some rhyme and reason to all this agony I've been through. And I'm telling you, I can't even speak about it. I don't want anybody to ever know the agony. But the point is, it's for a reason. Do we trust him? Do we trust that he is leading us and guiding us and training us? Did Jesus have to trust the Father in the wilderness? Did he have to trust the Father when he went to the cross? He absolutely had to. All right, let's keep going here. What was the purpose that Jesus was sent for? 1 John 3:8 will be the first one. I have another one too, but 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we're to follow in his footsteps, right? Isn't that what this is all about? Destroying the works of the devil, getting the strongholds off of Ector County, the 17 counties of the Permian Basin. Yeah? Maybe we've not understood our purpose. It's like going in the military and being upset because you've been out on maneuvers and somebody fired on you. That sounds silly, doesn't it? But aren't we the Lord's army? And are we not going through training? Aren't we not going through maneuvers? Is he not allowing the enemy to fire upon us to see how we will act? To see what are they, how is their progress? How much have they learned? How much responsibility can I give to them now? All right. It was his purpose and it's our purpose. We're not here to just play church and have, you know, get-togethers. Church socials and drama teams, which I guess if the Lord leads someone to do that for evangelical reasons, that's great. Just like, you know, I used to think, you know, he said to go fishing. I'll make you fishers of men. Go out where the fish are. No, many, most are waiting for somebody to come, let the preacher give an invitation so they'll jump in the boat. You know what I'm saying? All right. When you go somewhere and you start experiencing an attack, well, it is an evil entity giving away its position to you. It can't help itself. Because light hits it and it reacts. It's kind of like you're reacting to the darkness. That's what you're experiencing. Because you can be fine, feeling great, and then all of a sudden, golly. You've come across a demonic entity. It's not that anything's wrong. It's that your senses are being affected by that evil that you come across. All right. We've looked at it like this, that I don't want to go anywhere because I get attacked. But when we miss it when we think that way. That's why God is toughening us up. If you think Jesus didn't get attacked, you're not thinking right. Well, he's the Son of God, you know what? So are you. As he is, so are you in this world. All right. How will we ever take out their control if we don't know that they are there? We hide out in our houses. How, you know? I know. It's been difficult. If I walked by how I felt, you know what I mean? If you walked about how you felt. But if you walk out the door armed and ready knowing, you know, that's a different story, right? The Lord's been trying to toughen you up. We want to be like the guy in Lodabar, you know, under the table. I'm just nothing, you know. The king said, get up here and sit at the king's table. And he ate at the king's table for the rest of his life. But he was under the table before, right? How about you? You tired of being under the table? All right, Luke chapter 10. Like Mr. Miyagi, you know, he wants to punch. And Mr. Miyagi say, are you still wet behind here? You know what I'm saying? First learn balance. All right, 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And get this, what's the Lord been saying to us? You're in no harm. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Nothing by any means can hurt you. God's got your back. Right here, subject, being subject to means subordinate. They are subordinate to you. Jesus stripped him. Colossians 2:15 says that. And even before he went, he said they're subordinate to you. Now, I'm not saying go off with not the Spirit. We're talking the finger of God still. We're not talking about just we take it on our own to try to go take out demons. No. It's when we come across them, we ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do we do? Even Paul had to do that. He didn't immediately start rebuking the slave girl. For many days, she aggravated them, and everybody was so grieved. What is this? Can't stand it. Until the Lord spoke, and Paul turned around and rebuked the devil out of her. Or cast the devil out of her. All right. They come under obedience to you in the name of Jesus, not in the name of who your name is. Jesus' name. All right. I think we need to view this differently. Experiencing what we do as a dead giveaway for them. They're manifesting because you're the light. Why? They want to stay hidden and do their dirty deeds. Torment people. We need to be looking inside and getting instructions on how to take care of this. This is what the Lord said to me about this. What comes against you is there to buffet you. It is the entity's way of warding you off. What has buffeted you, you have always viewed as negative, but from now on, you will be able to use that buffeting positively. What has been a disadvantage will now become an advantage. Because it's just give itself away to you, and then you can ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Lord, what do I do? What do I say against this entity? All right. Get out of the mindset that I need healing, because you don't. God is in you and is revealing the hiding places of the demonic beings so that they can become subject to us by setting people, places, and things free. Isn't that what spiritual mapping's about? Getting the plan and executing the plan. 1 John 4:4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So God in you is greater than any entity that you come across. How were the disciples to say that the devils were subject to them through Jesus' name? They were manifesting. See, there was one where the young kid was having epileptic seizures or something like that, and they tried to cast it out, and it didn't happen. And Jesus comes along and says, you know, kind of rebuke him a little bit about it. And he cast it out of the child. It was manifesting right there in their presence. When they get in the presence of God, they can't help but give their position away. They can no longer hide. What's the purpose of this? To set them free. Set the captives free, right? All right. Now we can see what has been going on with the stuff, especially what we are feeling. God has been showing us how to operate. We need to view it that way instead of, oh, we're just going through it. You know, it's just hard all the time. I just hate it. And, you know, all this, just this junk, the Christian way of living. Right? Oh, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. It's just so hard. I'm telling you, there's somebody that I had talked to, and that's all they said is, it's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. I just wanted to slap them upside the head, and I can see why it's so hard. You've established this hardness in your life. It's not you, so don't get all. It's not you I'm talking about. I know, but I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, this is kind of the Christian way of speaking. It's just so hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Well, I thought he's made us more than a conqueror. It's because they're walking by how they feel. Everybody has feelings. It gets in the way, you know. But God wants us to view it differently. Take that disadvantage and turn it into an advantage. And start, okay, I see. All right, Lord, what's your plan? What's your strategy? General, sir, what is your strategy? And stay with it till he tells you. Okay. See where I stopped. God has been showing us how to operate. Jesus trained hands-on experience his disciples, then he sent them out to do what he did. That's what happened. Because he was going away. Just like Paul with the girl with the spirit of divination, he did not immediately just cast the demon out of her. He had to hear from God about it. She followed them doing this for many days. Yeah. Just like there is power in Jesus' name, these demons exert power over people, places, and things with their name. Because usually when you find out the name, it kind of tells you a little bit about the bondage or the situation or the area. When we know their name, then the name above all names can cast them out. All right, we're going to read a few scriptures here. We'll be done. Acts chapter 3. You know, most Christians today, sad to say, they kind of all the same. But when you come across it, really know, someone that really knows their authority and people see results, you know, you really see what real Christianity is. It's not just a religion that we just do stuff. No, it has a purpose behind it, and it's to be used with the power of God. All right, right here. Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entreated into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So that's all going to church. This happened outside. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of ye all." God's ready for power to come back in his church. "And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophets, shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me? Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he saith, he shall say unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Why would they be grieved? Because they're about to lose their playhouse. They were around when Jesus was around. What we're dealing with today? And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" See, these demonic entities have a name. They have a jurisdiction. They have a, you know, whether it's in a person privately or if it's over the city you live in or over our county or over our nation. Then Peter, we've been given the name to take out that name. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They recognized Jesus, what Jesus did. And here now his disciples are doing it. And behold, in the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So think about that. The church of the day, of today, and a lot of people that we know, either they speak the name of Jesus haphazardly, but speaking the name of Jesus with full power behind it is very few and far between. But it's only that name, by the finger of God, that can take out the other names. These demons have names and jurisdictions. We're supposed to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. All right. Ephesians. These Ephesians prayers, I encourage you to read them over yourself. Like I said, I read them over my partners. All right, we're going to start Ephesians 1:17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." We have an inheritance. Knowledge when we get to heaven. Now. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So that same authority in him is in us. All right, go to Philippians 2. Nine and ten. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Dominion in three worlds here. All right. I challenge you to not just adopt or adapt the attitude that I just must put up with stuff. Ask the Lord about the instances that you're dealing with in your life and what he'd have you do about it. And ask him, why am I experiencing what I am experiencing? See what he says to you. All right, we can do that. Go over to 2 Corinthians. This will be our last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We can't just assume, well, I'm just like Paul. I got a thorn here. Well, maybe you do, but maybe you don't. All right. Starting there with verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sounds like to me there was a purpose behind that. God said his grace would be sufficient, but then he said, through this, the power of Christ rests upon him. So that tells me, we don't have to go around saying, it's so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. If it's the grace of God and that's what we are to do, then the grace of God is sufficient, wouldn't you think? We need not to take, I'm thinking, it'd be easy to think that that's what's going on, but maybe it's not. That's why we have to ask the Lord about it. Anyway, I hope you'll take this and you'll begin to look at things differently when you're encountered with things. I mean, like I said, you can look at it as an opportunity. Okay, whatever's bugging me, Lord, give me whatever I need to do here. What am I dealing with here? What do you want to do about it? Instead of just going, I just need to get out of this place. I want to go home. Well, you know, it's going to be out there we help people. Right? All right.